On the
Blog Talk Radio.
Wow. In the name of our son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, we ask that you forgive us for our sins, and I ask that you forgive me for my sins, and that you hear our prayer. Abba, thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for allowing us to see another Shabbat. Thank you for opening up our eyes again, experience some more stuff with you, Abba, to grow. To learn, to laugh, to cry, to everything that we do in this world on a day-to-day basis, Abba. Thank you for allowing us to see another day to do it. Give us a little bit more time to do it. Abba, thank you for protecting us throughout the week. Thank you for watching after our family and our loved ones and, you know, everybody that draws another breath out there. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for keeping us safe, Abba. Thank you for giving us the strength to overcome any obstacles we had during the week, giving us knowledge and wisdom and understanding to deal with things. Thank you for continuing to heal us. Thank you for allowing our Ema to get strong enough to start moving across the, going to the kitchen. Pretty soon she's going to be dancing in her living room. And you know, we just thank you, Abba, for everything that you do for us on a daily basis. We ask, Abba, that you open up our minds to your word and open up our hearts. We thank you for the words that you put in our brother Ariel last night. We thank you for the word that we will receive from our brother Harbell a little later on in the day. Abba, we just ask that you can continue to reveal your word to us, Abba, little by little. And when we're in error, that you continue to correct us. When we go to the left or to the right, you get us back on that narrow path, Father. Don't allow us to be hard-headed or stiff-necked. Disobedient kids, just continue to plead with us, continue to show us mercy, Father. But when we need to get spanked, don't hold their hand back, Abba. We'll whine, we'll complain. We won't like it. But you will explain to us why we did it, why it happened. In Yahushua's name, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family. Shabbat Shalom. This is your brother, Day Well. Yeah, magnify the Torah and make it honorable by way of Kol Elohim. And this is my third week. Hope everybody had a great, great week. And if you didn't, it's the Shabbat. Okay. You know, Satan was playing with my brother last night. Tried to click us off the day, you know, but Abba got us. Abba got us. And, you know, I really want to thank Abba for, you know, I talked, whenever we setting up these, like, lessons or whatever, we always give the brothers, we got to tell them, you know, what we tell them the name of the lesson. And we really don't go, it's like, look, this lesson is about yada, yada, yada. Not really going into it. Like, you know, here go the verses, you know, for you to put down. And then Abba leads them and guides them to, you know, play different songs. You know, I personally don't request songs. You know, it just so happened that Abba puts on, whether it be Ahabel, whether it be Yakael, whether it be Samaria, whether it be Yaria, I always tell them, go with Abba leads you. And it's just these songs, they just fit the themes of when, you know, they whatever we are talking about. But they really don't know the lesson, you know. So my brother put ball of confusion out. I'm like, man, that is so appropriate. That is so appropriate. You know, because today we're going to be talking the word about exaggeration and what exaggeration is, you know. And we're also going to be looking at something out of the Mishnah. And when I say ball of confusion is so appropriate, you know, Abba gave us simple tasks. And man has managed to confuse the word of Yahweh so that it's all wrapped up and moves so far away from the word of Yahweh that and it's with their thinking, you know, it's what they feel and how they see it. Get to our opening scripture. Now, opening scripture is Book of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 23 through 25. And, you know, we're going to be coming back to Matthew because we're going to read a couple things out of there. Matthew 23:23. Or Matityahu 23:23, and it reads, sorry about that, hit the wrong button. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have done, and not to leave the other undone. You blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." So this is Yahushua, you know, getting on the Pharisees, getting on the scribes about them being hypocrites, them doing all these outwardly things. And by them trying to do it, them doing these outwardly things and looking a certain way, you've omitted the weightier matters of the Torah. You forgot about judgment. You forgot about mercy. You forgot about what else do you say? Faith. You forgot about these things. Because you've moved so far. And your forefathers moved so far away from the law, away from what the Torah is, that you're not seeing the purpose of it anymore. You know, you're not seeing the purpose of it anymore. So let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Starting at verse 8. And it says, or Shemot, or Exodus, chapter 20, starting at verse 8. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt you do labor, and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh, your mighty one. You shall do you should not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your maid, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. This is why, or wherefore, Yahweh blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. So that is the command. On day seven, the last day of the week, you rest. That's what he says. In it, you don't do any work. He said, you don't do none of your work. He says, in 6 days, you don't do any of your work. Don't do none of it. Now, let's go to excuse me. Let's go to Luke chapter 13. Lucas chapter 13, starting at we're going to start at verse 11. We're going to start at verse 11. All right. Lucas chapter 13, starting at verse 11. And it reads, well, let's start at verse 10. All right. Luke 13, 10. It says, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Yahushua saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. So it was something that kept this woman bent over in a position which she wasn't supposed to be in. And Yahushua healed her on the Sabbath day. Verse 13. He says, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately, remember this, and he laid his hands on her. And immediately she was made straight and glorified Yah. And the ruler of the synagogue, verse 14, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Yahushua had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And you know what? The ruler is absolutely correct in quoting Moses. He's correct in quoting Moses. But he don't understand. He moved away from what the way to your part, because that's what's going on in Yahushua's mind and what should be going on. What's more important? That this woman be healed? Or that this work is done on the Shabbat? How can a woman who's bent over in pain, broke up like that, really praise Abba? She's worrying about her condition. How can a man that's destitute, and the word talks about, Father, don't give me too much or too little. If you give me too much, I'm going to forget who you are. If you give me too little, I'm going to steal and take your name and say, I'm not going to be able to do right by you if I don't have enough. And if I have too much, then I'm going to forget who you are. I won't have a need for you. So give me what's sufficient for the day. Well, this woman needed something. She was in that too little state. And Yahushua saw it. My daughter, my sister needs to be healed. And yes, the Sabbath day. But what did she do? Exactly what she was supposed to do on the Sabbath day when she got healed. Now I can praise Abba. Hallelujah. Because this infirmity is gone. I can now release this. It's pent up in me. And yeah, I'm praising them and I'm talking them this, that, and another. I'm praising. But now that this infirmity is off of me, hallelujah. Everybody knows how it feels when I know how Ema feels to start getting her strength back to walk again. I felt the same way when I took those first steps. Them tears came flowing out of my eyes. And all I could say was, thank you, God. Thank you. You know, when that breakthrough, when Abba does these things for you, it releases, yeah, you praying, and yeah, but to know that Abba, he heard me. And that's what's more important. It's not that, sure, you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. You're not. But what's more important? And we've because man then took and exaggerated the Sabbath. We exaggerate the word of the Most High. It becomes something a lot more than what it is. See, and when I say it becomes a lot more, I'm saying it's filler. Man has added all this filler to the Most High, and it's no good. We got to cut the filler away to get to the pureness of it. So he says, therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Verse 15. Esther then answered him and said, you hypocrite. Does I'm sorry, I'm just imagining this in my mind. As soon as this dude got finished talking, Yahushua, hypocrite. You're a liar. Sorry. The master then answered him and said, you hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to be watered, lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loose from this barn on the Sabbath day? In other words, you got more love for your donkey or your ox than you do your sister. You've moved away from the word. And look at the word. And look at the world today. There's no difference. So many people have much more love for animals that they'll feed a stray dog before they'll feed a man down on their luck. And I ask people, I asked a couple of people why they do that. Well, the dog can't take care of himself. The man can take care of himself, but the dog can't take care of himself. No, you got it backwards. That dog got instincts that the Most High gave him to survive. Animals have survival instincts. Man has to be taken care of. Dogs know how to hunt. Cats know how to hunt. These animals know how to hunt. Man needs to be taken care of. You know, but getting back, I'm not saying man don't know how to hunt, but what I'm saying is that a man needs to be taken care of, man. You should have more love for your fellow man than you do a dog or a cat. You know, so many people cry over, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't cry over animal abuse. I get it. I mean, I don't want to see any animal abuse either. But what about the abuse of these human beings that's going on? You don't bat an eye at that. People don't bat an eye at that. But it says, verse 16 again. He says, and ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Verse 17. And when he has said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. See, he didn't come with the fluff and the filler and this, that, and another. No, yeah, you're right. It do say that. But you're being a hypocrite in your ways. The same way that you loose your donkey, the same way that you loose your ox, loose this woman on this Sabbath day. All right? So the word exaggerate, it means... it's a verb, and it means represent something as being larger, better, or worse than it really is, right? That's what the word exaggerate. Now, when you look up the etymology of it from the Latin, it's from Latin, and it means, the ex part means too thoroughly, right? Then you have the word agar, which means to heap up, heap on. So what you're doing is thoroughly heaping on stuff, just adding, right? So when you exaggerate something, you just adding to it, thoroughly heaping up, making something bigger, or like you said, bigger, better, whichever direction going with it, you know, you just keep on adding to it. Just keep on adding to it. You know, so you have, you know, that guy right there, he's a really big guy. Yeah, yeah. You know, he's so big that he blocks out the sun. No, man, he don't block out the sun. He block out the sun, the moon, and the stars. No, man, he's taller than the universe. You know, he blocks out the universe. You know, like that. You know, you just keep on adding to it. So let's look at, we're going to go to the Mishnah. Now, this is in the Babylonian Talmud. If you have the sacred text link, right, sacredtext.com. You can go in there, and you can go into the Talmud. It has the Babylonian Talmud. And if you go to Tract Shabbat, that's where we're going to be reading from. All right. Now, this is regulations that were discussed by the rabbis about this particular incident that we're going to be looking about. This is called the regulation of regarding transfer on Sabbath. So basically, they're just talking about giving stuff on Sabbath. You know, anytime you transfer something, you're giving something to somebody or taking something from somebody. And what they want to know is, what they're talking about is, who's at fault? All right? So, in the Mishnah, it reads, there are two acts constituting transfer of movable things over the dividing line of the adjoining premises based on biblical statutes. So you have a house, you have the front door. The front door is the dividing line. You're inside the house, the outside of the house, that's the dividing line. If you, they're talking about taking stuff inside or outside of your house. This is what they're talking about. The two acts are, however, increased to four on the inside and to the like amount on the outside of the premises by the addition of rabbinical statutes. Says, how so? Mendicant, the word mendicant means beggar, somebody who begs, right? So this is the scenario that they give. A beggar stands outside and the master of the house inside. The beggar passes his hand into the house through a window or door and puts something into the hand of the master. Or he takes something out of the master's hand and draws it back towards him. And yes, let me see. Yeah, let's do this. I'm gonna send the link out, fam. Let's see. Aki, can you send that out for me, please? On the 18 line or the 20 line? You know which line. Give that a minute. Yeah. So this particular site has a right, Brother Baruch got it. This particular site has all kinds of different stuff on it. And it got the Mishnah, it got the Talmud, it got all kinds of doctrines from everybody. Got the Book of Shadows, it got all kinds of stuff on there, on this particular site. So me personally, I bookmarked it. But you can go in here and it has the apocryphal books and everything in there. It's a real, real nice site, you know. So if you ever got the Vedas, it got all kinds of stuff in there. So, you know, it's a nice study tool, and it's free. You know, it's not. You can actually buy it if you want, buy the stuff, if you want. Yeah, it's free. We in Tractate Shabbat, chapter 1, right? Regulations regarding the transfer of Sabbath, right? It says, well, we'll just start all over. All right, it says, there are two acts constituting transfer of movable things over the dividing line of adjoining premises based on biblical statutes. The two acts are, however, increased to four on the inside and the like amount on the outside of the premises by the addition of rabbinical statutes. How so? A beggar stands outside and the master of the house inside. The beggar passes his hand into the house through a window or door and puts something in the hand of the master. And he takes something out of the master's hand and draws it back towards him. In such a case, the beggar is guilty of transfer and the master of the house is free. So you got the beggar, and he has something to give to the master on the Sabbath day. He's at the man's house. The master comes through the door. He sticks his hand across the threshold of the door. He puts something in the master's hand, master of the house hand, drops it in his hand, brings his hand back to him. He's guilty of breaking the Sabbath. The master isn't. Right? Guilty of transfer and the master of the house is free. If the master of the house passes the hand outside and puts a thing into the hand of the beggar or takes something out of the beggar's hand and brings it into the house, the master of the house is culpable or guilty and the mendicant or the beggar is free. If something, wait a minute. Okay, if the beggar extends his hand into the house and the master takes something out of it or puts something into it, which is drawn to the outside by the beggar, they are both free. Now, see how confusing this is getting already. If the beggar, so you got to, somebody has to give somebody else something, right? And the point of this is to see who is breaking the Torah, who's breaking the Shabbat. So if the beggar sticks his hand inside the house, gives something to the master and bring his hand back, the beggar's guilty. The master inside the house sticks his hand outside the house, gives the beggar something, and bring his hand back, he's guilty. The master's guilty. Now it's saying, if the beggar extends his hand into the house and the master takes something out of it or puts something into it, which is drawn to the outside by the beggar, they are both free. I don't understand how that's different from the first one. See how confusing this gets when Abba said, don't work. That's all he said. Don't work. Don't do any of your work on the Shabbat. That's all he said. You're not healing something. You're not healing anybody. You're not making anybody whole. But let's just say, you know, this is something very important. Like, this is, like, let's say this is some medicine that somebody needed. You know, and I'm here to give you this medicine that you need because it's something for your survival. You know? That supersedes all that. That supersedes the not working. Because the dead can't praise Yahweh. He says, they are both free. If the master of the house extends his hand outside and the beggar takes something out of it or puts something into it, which is joined to the inside of the house, they are both free. So now they're going to get into this. Right? So that was the scenario that they got dealing with the Shabbat. Now here comes the fluff, the exaggeration, because they're going to talk about it. And instead of them getting back to what the words say, you have all these opinions. Well, I think this, I'm this, that, and you'll see it. It says the Gemara. We were taught, and she wrote chapter, what is that, 4:2. It says, the acts of transfer on the Shabbat. Shabbat says, Aki, this reminds me when my mother grew up in Brooklyn, New York. As a little girl, she said on Shabbat, the Jews would pay them to turn off lights and carry something. Yes, they would. And carry something to their door. You are absolutely correct. Yeah, they wouldn't even. They couldn't click on a light. That was work. Carrying something was work. It's a Sabbath goy. Yep. Is what Yaakov put. She was the Sabbath goy. Yaakov, my cousin, did the same thing. The Sabbath eating, that's right. Because we are, but see, even though the Torah say, you, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maid servant, that's what they say, whoever worked for you is supposed to stop working. That's what the words say. They say, well, this stuff still got to be done, and you heathens can do it. See? Let the people of the nations do it. Because they don't believe in Torah, you know, so we're going to pay them to do it. Even though Yahweh said, whoever works for you don't supposed to work on that day too. Everybody except for the wife got the day off. The wife and the priests, because the priests work every day. That's getting back to this. But you're absolutely right, Aki. It says, we were taught, Shavuot 4:2, it says, the acts of transfer on the Shabbat are two, respectively four. It says, why is this teaching here specified as two, respectively four on the inside, and two, respectively four on the outside? And there no such specifications was made. Said, I'm not going to read all these different rabbis' names. Said, rabbi, this says this rabbi. Here, the special subject of treatment on the Sabbath and the Mishnah enumerated the cases which involve guilt and those which do not involve guilt. While there, the principal subject of treatment is a different one, and he mentions only the case that involves guilt, leaving the cases that do not involve guilt untouched. But the cases involving guilt are those by which transfer are committed. And such are only two? Nay, there are two acts of transfer from within and two from without. And the Mishnah says, Yetziah, which in a literal sense means transfer from within, said this other rabbi. Excuse me. Says this other rabbi. Now this next rabbi giving his opinion. Says this next rabbi, the Tanakh calls transfer from without by the same term. And for what reason? So the first rabbi is saying, it's talking specifically, this word is used, yetziah, which literally means transfer from within. But the next rabbi says, nope, same word is used for transfer from without. He says, and for what reason? Because every act of removing a thing from its place is called yetziah, said the next rabbi. The Mishnah also bears out this sense. for it speaks of Yetzia and immediately illustrates its remark by citing a case from without. This bears it out. Rab Ha, however, says he, the Tanna, speaks about divided premises whose lines of division is crossed, and in this case, there are only two, and each which they may be four acts of transfer. So they're trying to get to the how the Mishnah saying it's only two when there's actually four, talking about the amount of ways you can transfer a thing. And it's talked about, then the other guy, well, it's only talking about if you're guilty in this place, then there's two within, two without, you know, which gives you four. So now, no one is asking, is Torah being broken by giving somebody something on this day, right? Nobody's asking these things from the beginning. But let's keep on reading for a little bit. Let's add to it. It says, said the next rabbi, are there not eight, even 12 instances of transfer over the line of division? And he rejoined, such transfers are involved the obligation of the sin offering. Such transfers as involve the obligations of a sin offering are counted. But those that do not involve such obligation are not counted. Next one. They are both free. Was not the act of transfer committed by both, said the next rabbi. The act of removing the thing was committed by the joint effort of both. And they, the rabbi said, it is written in the law when a person did, example, when one person commits the act, he is culpable, he's guilty. Both when the act is committed by the joint effort of two persons, they are both free. The next rabbi questioned the next rabbi. If one were laden by his friend, he put another question out there. If one were laden by his friends with edibles and beverages and carried them outside of the house, who's guilty then? How is the law? Is the removing of his body tantamount to the removing of a thing from his place, and therefore he is guilty? Or is it not so? So is it the fact that he's picking up and carrying something to eat and drink, or is it the fact that his body is moving? In other words, let's give it to the Goyim like we were just talking about, right? Let's give it to your Sabbath Goy, and have them carry it. That way, you know, I'm not guilty of it. Have them flick on the light switch. Have them roll the toilet paper down, all that stuff. Anything that they constitute work. Constitute his work. He says, the next rabbi says, he's guilty, and this case is not like the last case removing his hand. Why so? Because in the last case, the hand was not at rest, while in the former, the body before and after removal was entirely at rest. Do you see? So, no, he's not guilty because in that case, his hand was moving. And if that's what's not causing him, do you hear this? How did such a simple command get so convoluted? And they just keep on piling on. So when Yahushua says, look, y'all don't obey the Torah. Y'all obey your forefathers. That's what y'all obeying. Because you got to go through all this. Straining at the net, swallowing the camel. That's what's going on with y'all. Y'all can't even do the simple things. And yet you want to make it complex. My yoke is light, is what Yahushua said. What I actually told y'all ain't that hard. Y'all turning it into something hard. It says, it was a certain part I wanted to read, though. That's right, Brother Ivy. The intellect gets in their way. You are absolutely correct. And not only did it get in their way, it took them away from the Most High. It took them away. Because now that command, he says, now that command, where is it? Hold up. Let me find it. Oh, boy. Okay. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. And Romans chapter 7. We're going to start All right, we're gonna start at verse five. But it's this one point that I wanna get to. Let's start at verse 5. All right, it says, For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead within, we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Right? What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Elohim forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law said that thou should not covet. So, you know, you got Paul writing. The purpose of the Torah is to teach us what sin is. That's one of the purposes of the Torah, right? Is to teach us what sin is. So, I don't know what it is to lust. Until Abba says, you shall not covet. Don't lust. This is the example that Paul is giving, right? He says, but sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manners of lust. The word is lust, cravings, longings, right? For without the law, sin was dead. Right? When I didn't know what it was to lust, I couldn't lust. When I didn't have any desires, when I didn't have any longings or wants, that law couldn't take a hold of me. Right? But now that I know what it is, that sin, that lust forms up in me. Right? It forms up in me. And it affects me, right? He says, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. He says, in the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. That was the point I wanted to get to. See? With this whole thing, with this mission, with the way they're going about this, the commandment that was supposed to bring us life, they didn't move so far away from it that now it's killing them. It's killing them now, you know, and they didn't add it to it. They're not even at the letter of the law anymore. They're not even at, see, and we know the letter killers. The spirit quickens, but it says the letter killers. 1 John 5:3, Shebael puts, for this is loving Elohim, that we keep his commandments. His commands are not grievous. That's right. They ain't grievous. They're not grievous. They ain't got the, there is no, again, man has taken a simple thing and convoluted it by adding to, and the words say, don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't do it. But man didn't heap so much stuff on it. Now there are a group of people out there. They still follow this stuff. So if I give you something on the Shabbat, now I got to worry about guilt. If I'm carrying something on Shabbat, I got to worry about guilt. He says, in the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin taking the occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. So what is this doing? If this is what happens with the pureness of the Most High, from the very first, from obeying his voice, thou shalt not covet. Right? And there's no addition to that. What happens when we put the additions onto that? What happens to thou shalt not covet and such as the or such and such? The ands and the ors and stuff like that. When you add options to it, what happens to that? What happens when you exaggerate the word? And it turns into a lot more than what it's supposed to be. It gets to the point where people say, we can't keep those commands. Stop working on the day. You can't rest. You can't not eat clean. You can't not cheat your brother. You can't not show your parents honor. Then when they get older, you know, when they get old, you take care of them. You can't do these things. What's so hard about it? You can't not steal. You can't not murder. What's so hard about it? Oops. Hold on. Okay, let's go back to Matthew. I think everybody got the point with that. Matthew chapter 23. We're gonna start 1-5. You know, the words say that, you know, our righteousness is like a filthy rag unto the Most High. That's what he said. You know, and when we try to add our righteousness and what we think onto what, that's how we're treating his word. We're using that filthy rag to try to clean his word. Matit Yahu, chapter 23, starting at verse 1, says, "Then spake Yahushua to the multitude and said unto his disciples, and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moshe's seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them, will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at the feast, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the market, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi." They love this outward stuff. They love it. You know? Why they make broad their phylacteries? You know? Just like how they stretch their phylacteries, they stretch the word. They stretch the word with all this extra stuff. And it shouldn't be that way. Because once you start adding the extras, and here comes the rest of the interpretations. It opens up. You know, it opens up. And not that, and don't get this wrong. Don't take this the wrong way. You need people, you need a man of the Most High to interpret the word. You do. You need someone, like we said, like we taught, someone who is being led by the Most High to interpret his word. You got to go to the priest to get it. You do. Excuse me. And there is going to be a council to discuss his word. But we are talking about his word. Once they start moving away from the word, and that's the problem. You can't start moving away from the word. Once you start adding on to and taking away from, now you are moving away from the word. You know, because Abba's word is very specific. Not only did he put in this word what we should do, but he put in this word things that we shouldn't do. He didn't leave the mistakes out. Can you leave them out? So a lot of times when people say, well, you know, it's written in the Bible. Okay, it is written in the Bible. But was it written in the Bible to show you what you should do or what you shouldn't do? It's there. But again, you have to go to the man of the Most High to get that understanding, and he can't deviate from the word. You got a whole council of men deviating from the word, and nobody's trying to get back to what thus saith Yahweh. That's why that whole long script, if you would have kept on reading, it would have been talking about who carries what, and was the hand moving, and what, nobody is saying, hold up, wait a minute. According to Torah, what are we supposed to do on the Shabbat? According to Torah, according to the Most High, what are we actually supposed to do? Let's drop down to verse 26. All right, so we pick up where we are. Verse 26, that same chapter. He says, "You blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but Hallelujah. It says, I keep this lesson on time. Reminds me of the feast where in the last final eighth day of the Feast of Dedication, they added to the word having an 8 and 9 branch menorah, only light one candle a day. That's not following Yahweh's command of the lighting. That's not following the command of the lighting of the menorah, which commands all 7 lamps every day in the temple. So I lighten one a day on an 8 or 9 branch menorah. That's not rededicating, restoring Abba's holy orders of worship. The Maccabees follow Yahweh's commands. Hallelujah. No, Abba know what he's doing now. Abba, like I said, I can tell with the music. I don't have to give my brother or my any of them, however I believe you. You know, the music is just comes, man. It's Abba is orchestrating this, the box, top to box. So he says, verse 27 again. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto white sepulchres, or sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men. But within, ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. That's what the Yahusha, hypocrites. You got more love for an animal than you do your sister. That's not right. That ain't what Abba said. And he got on him, man. I know he got on him. He got on him. He said, when he said that, after he said, everybody felt the shame. Everybody that supported him felt the shame. Everybody that was against Yahusha felt ashamed. Because you missed the point of the commandment. You missed it. Can you imagine them arguing this in front of Yahusha? You hypocrites. How you going to sit up here and talk about a hand inside a door, outside of a door, constitutes guilt? That ain't what my father was talking about. Then on top of that, you breaking the command anyway because you got your manservant and your manservant working. What about that part? He says, even so, ye also appear outwardly. You also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Verse 29, he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. Y'all do that. How many times have you said in this word, the man who told Yahweh's word gets killed, gets locked up, gets thrown in jail, gets beaten, abandoned? Paul talked about how many times, look, I got like 40 stripes, 7 times, I was shipwrecked twice, I was thrown in jail this amount of time. I mean, he's running down his rap sheet that happened to him because of him standing on the word of Yahweh, and people did not want to hear it. The silversmith, we read about the silversmith, how he caused the whole city to come up against Paul, because Paul was messing with his money. We read about these things. We read about how Peter, they was beat and beaten. They was beat and told not to preach in the name of Yahushua again. They got their butts whooped. We read about these things. They hung him at the end. They end up hanging him upside down, hanging Peter upside down, because he said, I'm not worthy of the same type of death my master got. Hang me upside down. Kill me that way. He says, and you know, another thing that we don't want to overlook, like my brother said, this is Israel doing this. It's not the outside nations. It's Israel that's building the tombs of the prophets and garnishing the sepulchres of the righteous. It's Israel doing that. Verse 30, he says, and say, after they did all that, after they do all this killing, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generations of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them scourge in the synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Barachiah, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. So they don't want to hear it. They rather hold on to the stuff that they got and kill those who are trying to show them the right way. Amen. Y'all step too far away from the Most High. Come on back. Reel it on in. Because you got all this stuff going on that's usurping the word of our Heavenly Father. Jeremiah chapter 7, starting at verse 16, or Jeremiah, who chapter 7, starting at verse 16. Matter of fact, let's go a little up a little bit before. Let's go to Let's start at the beginning. So we'll get the whole thought. Jeremiah chapter 7, starting at verse 1, it says, the word that came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, stand in the gate of Yahweh's house and proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of Yahweh, all ye of Yehuda that enter in at these gates to worship Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Change what you're doing. Change it. Get back. And this word amend, in the Hebrew, number 3190, the word is yatob. Yatob. It means to make well, to be or make well, literally or figuratively, make well. In other words, it's implying that what you're doing is sick. What you're doing is bad. Your ways are bad. So you got this thing with these implications and all these regulations on the Shabbat that I didn't say, to amend them, make them well. Get back to what I said, what thus saith Yahweh. And make sure you use your your fail safes, as we call them, your checkpoints to the law, to the testimony. Don't speak like this. Ain't no light in them. Try that spirit by the spirit. You know, make sure you use those checkpoints. Cross your T's, dot your I's, as they say. He says, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Ritual. Trust you not in lying words, saying, the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, one of the things that they said, that Yahushua said, look, you're a hypocrite. You forgot this part of the Torah. Judgment was one of the weightier matters. He said, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other mighty ones to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers, forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Let me read that part again. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Why? They are words. They ain't the words of the Most High. Let every man be a liar and Yahweh be true. You trust in yourself. Trust in your thoughts, your imaginations. All that. Your philosophies, your isms and schisms, and all that other stuff, it's not of the Most High, and it cannot profit. He says, verse 9, will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other mighty ones whom you knew not, whom you know not? And come and stand before me, if you did all that, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. It's cool for us to do that? After we then ran out here and did all this stuff with all these foreign gods and committed all this stuff, then you come before Yahweh and say, Oh Abba, deliver us. How long do you think he's going to allow you to keep doing that? I'm going to forgive you the first time, the second time, but now you got to be punished. I forgive you, but I still got to punish you. Just like a child. You forgive your child for the bad things they do, but it still don't stop you from punishing them. The love don't go nowhere. When it's time to get spanked, you get spanked. Eventually, we're going to read what he said. He says, we are delivered to do all these abominations in this house, which is called by my name. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith Yahweh. But go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wicked. But go ye now unto my place, which is in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. You need a reference point? Think this is going to last that? Look, go look at Shiloh. Take you a little journey. Let me show you my handiwork. Excuse me. I ain't playing. Verse 13, he says, and now, because you have done all these works, saith Yahweh, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not, and I called you, but you answered not. Therefore will I do this, will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. I'm not playing. You can't keep on going out here doing this stuff, thinking there's no penalty for it. I'm done. That's what I have to say. Verse 16. Right? Now listen what he tell them. Therefore, pray not you for this people. And he's talking to the prophet. The whole point of the prophet is to make intercession for the people. Right? But he's the go-between. He's the mediator. He's the one who brings the people's messages, thoughts, and all that to the Most High. But what he say? Therefore, pray not you for this people. Don't talk to me about Israel. That's what he told them. Don't talk to me about Israel. I don't want to discuss them no more. I don't want to talk about them. The stuff with Israel is off the table. He says, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. I ain't going to hear you. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah? Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem? You know, he is literally talking to this prophet. I don't want to talk about Israel. Don't you say nothing about saving them. I don't want to hear nothing about them. Look, don't cry for them. Don't make no excuses why I want to hear it. You don't see what they're doing? They got Israel been took Abba and got him to the point where he's talking to this prophet like look, man, you don't see. It's like a woman doing you wrong. Or if you're a woman, a man doing you wrong. Your lover doing you wrong. You don't see what she doing. You don't care. You got that one that's trying to, that one person that's trying to get you to hold on to your love, like the old Sade song. Hold on to your love. Hang on to your love. That's what it's called. But you're like, you don't see what she doing. You don't see it. You don't get it. You, look at this. How are you going to treat me like this? How are you going to do me like this? I'm the one that's good. In Vogue also, yep, got that one person trying to hold on to you. Abba is talking to this prophet. And like, I don't even want to talk about it. He out of his mind. Israel literally drove Yahweh crazy. We drove them crazy. We made them nuts. He says, Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood and the fathers can. It's like, see, the prophet has become the therapist for Yahweh. Yahweh is venting right now. He's venting to the prophet. He says, the children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offers unto other gods, and that they may provoke me. Hey, they're doing this just to piss me off. That's what he's saying. They're doing this just to piss me off. Verse 19. Do they provoke me to anger, saith Yahweh? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faith? Look, they think they're getting me, but they don't even understand what they're doing to themselves. And ain't that what we always, man, yeah, you hurting me. But what's going on with you? It's going to be worse for you. We never see that part. Like, yeah, I'm hurt. Mm-hmm, sure. But what about you? He said, do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own face? Verse 20. Therefore, thus saith the Master Yahweh, behold, my anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beasts and upon trees. And upon the trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground, it shall burn and shall not quench. You hear this? I'm destroying everything. That's how angry I am. Again, the earth got to suffer because of us, because of man. He says, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, put your burnt offerings onto the sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake, and here's the part, for I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice. This thing I said to them. Excuse me. That's all I said. Obey my voice. And I will be your mighty one, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all my, excuse me, in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. That way you ain't got to figure out who's guilty on the Shabbat. If I give somebody something, you ain't got to figure that stuff out. If it's a life or death thing, it's a forgive me, Abba. But this person is about to pass. They needed their medicine. I understand. I get it. We don't serve a tyrannical God. He is a loving father. He gets it. Look, they need this. My daughter needs to be healed today. She caught me today, so today I'm a healer. That's what happened. I don't have no problem healing her on any other day, first day of the week, third day of the week, fifth day of the week. It don't make a difference. But she caught me on the Shabbat. She knew where I was going to be at. They knew exactly where to find him, because on the Shabbat, it was his custom to be in the synagogue. They knew exactly where to find him. And he called her to be healed. Hey, come here. Oh, my goodness. Satan bound you up for 18 years? You suffered enough. Be undone. So you can praise your Heavenly Father. He says, my people, and walk in all my ways, walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ears, but walk in the counsels and in the imaginations of their evil heart, and went backwards and not forwards. Our evil hearts, our counsel, what we think, how we feel. That's what we can't do, fam. We have to get back to that unadulterated word. That way we don't have, there's no reason to make an easy thing hard. This is what the words say. Let's do what the words say. And he'll give us the deeper meaning in due time. Everything that we have, everything that we get, it comes in due time. She put herself, made the right choice in position for healing, not worrying about the unrighteous. You're absolutely right, Pop. Because healing, it has to come. Can you hear me, Aki? Everybody still hear me?
You still on, Aki? Oh.
Okay. All right. One of the brothers said sounds. Okay. But that was the end. That was the that's the end of the blog talk. That's the end of the blog talk. Okay. All right. Well, I hope everybody yes. Well, family, I hope everybody get what they need from it. You know, I hope everybody continues to experience wonderful ones of Shabbat, you know. Let Abba, as my brother say, have his way with you. And let him grow you and lead you. What? It don't sound like you are absolutely right. But you know, I got to thank Abba for what he do, man. It's like, you know, we a lot of times we don't, I know I don't enough. You know, I thank Abba, but I really need to learn to praise him more and give him his props more. You know, I really thank Abba for doing all that he do, but I got to learn to praise more. I got to learn to, you know, I just got to learn to just give Abba his everything he deserves. You know, I know I got to learn that, you know, because he does so much so fast, you know, because it's like, at the end of the day, I was, you're hearing classical music? Ain't nothing playing out. You know, I didn't, you know, I didn't know what I was going to talk about. You know, Abba didn't give me this till late last night. You know. But I just want to thank him for everything he do and you know, may he continue to lead and guide all of us. All right, so I'm going to finish up and I'm going to close on out. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, but you are mighty one. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abba, I thank you once again for allowing me to see another day. I thank you for putting your words within me, and I pray, Abba, that you fertile. Make the ground fertile that you drop your seed in. I pray that you put your words in our brother, Ahabel, as he brings forth your word. May he continue. May you edify us through him. Excuse me. Pray, Abba, for anyone who is hurting mentally, physically, spiritually and emotionally, you keep your hand upon us, that you heal us according to your good will. Give us what we need, Abba. Show us your way and just continue to be with us, Father. Thank you for continuing to provide for us daily. Thank you for watching over our children and us during the week, and we ask that you continue to protect us as this week comes up, continues to strengthen us as we go out and go against the adversary and all his traps and tricks and everything that he has planned for us, Father. Give us victory and allow us to overcome it. And don't allow us to be prideful, Father, when we need help. Allow us to call one another and get that encouraging word, Father, that we need so often, that we need it often, Father. You know, to keep one another in prayer, keep one another in mind, keep one another in our hearts, Father. If there's any issue or any ill will between brothers and sisters or whoever within your household, allow it to be brought forth, allow it to be resolved, that we all may be unified in your name and unified in your ways, Abba. Allow us to continue to just become a family, become stronger and stronger, and become that knit unit that you desire. Like my brother said, you know, our brother Yahya said, we have the makings of a family. Well, allow us, Abba, to be that mishpachah fully, you know, as we just allow us to be united like you and your Father and our Father. In Yahushua's name, we just give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah. 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 Shabbat Shalom, family. Enjoy the rest of the Shabbat. Da-da.
Sometimes I try to justify my sin, but no excuses will be heard in the end. So I examine